Hello everybody, welcome to Hold the Line. My name's Joe and I'm a British force-free gundog trainer. You can check out my online courses at forcefreegundog.com. The newest course is called Training the T-Drill. You can also pick up a copy of my book called Force-Free Gundog Training, The Fundamentals for Success, which is available on Amazon's everywhere around the world. There's also an accompanying workbook to record your training sessions in. I'm currently working on a sequel to Force-Free Gundog Training, and I hope it's going to be out maybe in about 6 months. We'll see. That's all for now. Let's get on with the show. Hello, everybody. Happy New Year. This is the last of these 15-minute shorts that I'm going to be doing over the holiday period. And it also means there's 24 hours-ish left before the end of the sale on my website, forcefreegundog.com. So if you want to grab any of the courses before the sale ends, you want to head over to forcefreegundog.com and pick up some courses that catch your eye there. You can get 40% off using the code HAPPYHOLIDAYS2023. That's HAPPYHOLIDAYS2023. So everybody, the subject for today's episode is My Dog Pulls on the Leash.
Train your gun dog without force or fear. Motivate and educate. Hold the line is here. Prevention, repetition, generalization, motivation. Hold the line. Yeah.
So I just thought I'd say a few things generally about leads, leashes, heel work, dogs pulling on leash, and that kind of thing before I get into nitty gritty here. So the first thing to say is that this is something which bugs so many people, and so many people struggle with, whether they have a gun dog, whether they have a pet dog, you know, whatever the breed almost, this is a problem which has resulted in the creation of endless pieces of equipment and solutions, quote unquote. And it's a big subject. Let's just put it like that. So I think the first thing I want to say is that there's a difference between walking on a loose leash and not pulling on the leash and heel work. So those are two completely different behaviors, which at first glance look like they're the same thing. And that's something that I want to put across to you. So when a dog is on a leash, but they're not putting their body in the right place by your side, as in, you know, a heel position by your side, they're not doing heel work. They're just a dog on a leash. Whether the leash is tight, whether the leash is loose, they're just a dog on a leash. You could have, I don't know, a cow on a on a rope. You could have a donkey that you're holding onto the head halter of. You wouldn't say that those cows and donkeys that you're holding on ropes are doing heel work, would you? That would be a bit ridiculous. In the same way, a dog that is on a lead and that's all is not doing heel work. They're just a dog on a leash. And you know, that leash could be loose or it could be tight, just like the rope that you're holding from the cow could be loose or could be tight. It doesn't make it into heel work on the basis of that. What makes something heel work is the fact that the dog, I guess you could try to do this with a cow or a donkey, but let me know if you try that. I'd be interested to see. What makes it into heel work is that the animal, let's say, is trying to maintain a position by your side. They are putting themselves into a place relative to your body. So as your body moves through space, their body will move through space to maintain the same distance and location and spot between you. So one way to describe heel work is it's like a stay in motion. And that's quite an advanced concept for a dog. Let's just put it like that. So a stay as in a sit stay or a down stay is quite advanced enough, let alone trying to maintain a position relative to another being that is moving through space as well. I mean, that is really advanced. So no wonder this is quite a difficult concept for dogs to grasp. So that's the first thing that I want to say. So the other thing to say that I want to point out is that this is much easier for breeds of dog that are bred specifically to do this. Retrievers are bred to do this. Retrievers are bred to walk in a heel position off leash for very long periods of time, at least retrievers in Europe and the UK are. And to maintain that position relative to the handler for, well, it could be for hours really, if they're out on a shoot all day. So apart from the few occasions when the dog is sent off on a retrieve, the rest of the time they're walking at heel, off leash. And not only that, but the requirements for that heel position are really very stringent. So if the dog steps even one or two steps, like dog steps forwards out of heel position, they could be out of a competition. So this is a really sort of high standard of heel work. Maybe not high standard in terms of, you know, competition obedience, super glued to your side, staring up at you, slobbering all over your jeans kind of high standard, but high standard in terms of the ability for the dog to be able to do this in the presence of distractions. And also, importantly, for the dog to be able to do this whilst looking out, whilst looking forwards. Because the dog which does beautiful heel work, if they're a retriever, and they do that beautiful heel work looking up at you, is not going to be very successful when it comes to running retrieves, because they're not going to see them. They're not going to see the retrieve fall from the sky because they are looking adoringly at their handler. So for this reason, there is a very different kind of feel to heel work for retrievers as compared to heel work for Spaniels and HBRs. So let's talk about Spaniels and HBRs first, because that is a lot simpler. So Spaniels and HBRs, it really doesn't matter if the way that you get your short bursts of heel work is by training the dog to look at you. It doesn't matter if that's what you do, because the dog is not going to be walking forwards doing heel work whilst retrieves fall from the sky. So they're not going to miss marking anything. They don't need the skill of being able to maintain heel position while stuff falls from the sky at the same time. So if, as it's very likely, you find it much easier to train your dog to look at you while you're doing heel work, and that is easier, let's just say that, then by all means do that if you have a HBR or a Spaniel. You're going to need heel work if you have a HBR or a Spaniel for brief periods. So for example, moving between drives on a shoot, or if you have been called forwards to try and eye wipe another dog, or if the judge wants you to move to a new spot and to cast your dog off there, or to, bridging moments, let's call them those, bridging moments, are when you're going to need your heel work. And what's more, you're not really being assessed on the heel work. As long as your dog doesn't totally go AWOL and is vaguely in your vicinity, that's perfectly fine. It's not, your dog doesn't have to be at your side like your retriever would have to be. So it's more kind of perfunctory, kind of does it serve a purpose sort of a thing for Spaniels and HBRs. With all that said and done, also for Spaniels and HBRs, what are you going to be doing when you have the leash on? That's a different subject. I'm going to talk about that actually. So for some reason, it's easier to teach dogs to be at heel, as in do heel work, than it often is to put a leash on them and expect them to walk at your side. Because it's all about, are we doing a behavior which is being reinforced here? So if you're doing heel work, that looks like, for the dog, there's a cue to start the behavior. So you might say heel, that's what most people say. And then there's a period of time, there's duration, which the dog is doing the behavior for when you are reinforcing them, unless it's really brief. And then at the end of the behavior, there's a release. So you might say, okay, you can run off now. So let's say, for example, you're out with your dog and you see a horse coming towards you, and your dog's not really interested in horses, but you just don't want the dog to get in the way of the horse. So you call your dog to you, ask him to walk at heel. You say heel, and the dog walks at heel. The horse passes you and you're clicking and treating, or maybe even just treating, whilst the horse passes you. And then after the horse has passed and you want to release the dog from the heel position, you would say, okay, and release the dog, or you might say, go play, or whatever. So basically, just like any other stay, there's a beginning to it where you say heel, or you give the cue, which starts the behavior. There's duration to it, during which you are providing the reinforcer, and then there's a release at the end. So the dog can move, can break that position. So, by the way, that's another way that you can think of it as a moving stay. So that is heel work. Now, when you just put a leash on a dog, you often don't want to be faffing around doing this, do you? Don't, like, I'll give you an example. So if I'm taking my three dogs out to the car on the street, I'm going to put the leashes on them, but I'm not going to say heel and expect all three dogs to walk on my left side, maintaining heel position, looking at me with their leashes on. I would expect that if they were retrievers, but they're not retrievers, or one of them is a retriever. I would not expect them to do that being HBRs, because it's just way beyond what they need to be able to do, what heel work needs to be able to be for them. So what I'm trying to say here in a really long-winded, roundabout way is, by all means, if you have Spaniels and HBRs, teach them to have a heel behavior, because you're going to need that for brief periods of time in a kind of practical, perfunctory way. But when you also need something else, you need a way to just get the dog around with a leash on. That's not heel work. It's just putting a leash on the dog. And you need a way to be able to have them under control while you move them from A to B on a leash. Now, I don't even think that needs to involve loose leash walking or, you know, anything like that. I think that can involve front attaching harnesses. I think if you have a really strong pulley dog, you can consider using head collars, as long as you introduce those in the right way. I think it's just about practically keeping the dog in a sort of management way, not in a training way, management way, under your control while you get them from A to B, practically, without having to make everything into a dog training extravaganza. So if you've got a retriever, I would have very different standards for all of that. I would expect the dog to be able to walk at heel, whether there's a leash on, whether there's a leash off. That should not make any difference to the heel behavior. Think about the leash as just being a kind of insurance policy. So just in case something should happen, you've got a leash on the dog so you can keep the dog safe. But the leash is not really doing anything. It's not holding the dog in place. It's not doing anything other than just, it may as well be a piece of string or something, because it's not something that you're really using. It's just a backup. So your retriever should be able to walk to heel all the time, to the car, you know, back from the car. So in a sort of practical way, and in a sort of long, ongoing for many hours way, ultimately, when you're working the dog. So there are very different standards for heel work in all of this. I think these are things that get really confused and confusing. Next, I want to say that heel work is actually quite an advanced behavior. And for some reason, everyone is obsessed with teaching it in kind of puppy class. There's nothing wrong with teaching it in puppy class, but what you're kind of trying to do is get maybe 10 seconds of a really good quality heel and focus. And, you know, if that's all you can do, that's brilliant. That's a great achievement inside, indoors. And you're probably going to need a lot more work to be able to get that out and about on the street. I think sometimes new owners believe that they can just go to a kind of puppy training class, and then after that, their dog should just be able to walk at heel next to them, not pull, and basically not need any reinforcers for that either, and be able to do that out and about at all kinds of distracting locations. That's not realistic. It's not how this dog training thing works. So what you're going to need to do is have some kind of management-based thing, which I suggest is a front-attaching harness, and work in a really focused, concentrated way on heel work for, you know, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, for like micro bursts, and build up the distraction level of the environment as you're working on that heel work, gradually make it more and more distracting. But this is a long-term goal. This is not something you're going to do on a sort of six-week course. So I hope that helps as well. So I think that people can get very judgy about all kinds of aspects of heel work. And, you know, I think when I first started out with dogs, because the heel work thing is something that is taught in so many puppy training classes, you think that it's a kind of basic behavior, because why would they be teaching you to do this behavior right at the very beginning with a tiny new puppy, unless it's a pretty basic behavior like sit? Isn't heel as basic as sit? No, it's not. Heel is way, way harder than sit. So so please don't be misled, and please don't feel that if you don't have a really excellent heel behavior by the end of a puppy class that you're somehow a failure, or you've, you know, you're there's something wrong, you're doing something wrong, because that's not true. So yeah, just work at it, take it easy, and don't have ridiculously unachievable expectations when it comes to heel work. And also, do think about the equipment that you're using, because that can make not heel work easier, because remember, heel work shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter what equipment you're using, because the equipment is not the thing that is controlling the dog. The training is controlling the dog. Your cue, heel, and reinforcers, and then release is what's controlling the dog. The equipment is the management side of things, and you can use that either as an insurance policy when you're doing heel work, or you can just use it by itself because you don't want to do heel work and you just want to practically get your dog from A to B. By equipment, by the way, the equipment that I would recommend is going to be a harness of some kind. With a baby puppy, just a back fastening harness is perfectly fine. As your puppy gets a bit bigger, a bit stronger, and a bit more pulley, you're probably going to want a front attaching harness, because that's going to give you a little bit more... it's going to mean that your dog can't focus their attention completely forwards and away from you. You're going to have a way of engaging the front of your dog if you have a leash attached to the front of your dog, of your dog's chest. And then if you need even more control beyond that, then explore head collars. And if you do want a head collar recommendation, the Dogmatic is a head collar which doesn't tighten around the dog's muzzle. So it's the least aversive type of head collar, because it's not going to squeeze their muzzle in that nasty way that some head collars do. So I do recommend the Dogmatics if you're looking for a head collar. So in terms of further help and advice and information, check out episode 16 and 17 on this podcast. And there's also a course on my website called Heel, which goes into all things heel work. So I hope that that makes some kind of sense and hasn't confused everybody even more. if you have any questions, let me know. And do make sure you head over and grab any courses that you want to get, because it's the end of the sale tomorrow, I think. So it's 40% off on my website, forcefreegundog.com, using the code HAPPYHOLIDAYS2023. So everyone, I want to wish you all a very happy new year. And let's see what 2024 brings us all and our dogs. And I will be back and talking to you again soon. Hold the line.